Christian Convos, the podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Candid Christian Convos. In this episode, we are picking up right where we left off in our conversation with Giselle and Beverly about all things surrender and motherhood. Child, the conversation was so good we had to split it into two parts. So if you haven't listened to the first, I recommend pausing this episode and going back to listen to that so that you have context for this conversation. And if you've listened to that, well, let's get right back into the convo with Giselle and Beverly.
Okay, we spoke a bit about God's plan and God's plan versus our plan. And let me know if this is a me thing or if this is something that you can relate to. So I have made decisions in my life that I felt derailed me from God's plan for my life. And those decisions had consequences, and, you know, I'm not proud of many of the decisions I made when I was still trying to find my way, and I didn't understand God's love, so I was trying to fill voids in my life with different things. And so sometimes I would sit down and be like, whoa, I really messed up God's plan for me. Like, he probably can never use. And that's the lie that the devil would use to attack me. And sometimes still does till this day. Like, I've confessed, I've repented, I've moved on. God has forgiven me, but he haunts me with, like, if you had never done this, if you had never slept with this person, if you had never, like, you know, been out here doing all these things, maybe God, you would be further along in your life. Maybe God would have done this for you. So I had to really break agreements with that thought that God's best for me was in the past and that I have enough power to derail God's plan for my life. Like, there was something I could do to put my life off track. So is that something you can relate to? And how have you, if yes, how do you fight that lie? Because I know both of you have spoken about how your pregnancies were not planned. They happened by surprise. So I can only imagine that the devil would have tried to play some mad tricks on your mind about the choices.
Everything Mara just said is exactly like thoughts that I've thought myself, like point by point. I've absolutely thought these things, and 100% I thought that my life, that I had that much power, that when I got pregnant, that my life, my destiny was tainted, you know, it was derailed because I made a choice. But I surrendered to the fact that I 100% believe that my story was already written before I was born, and there's nothing that I can do to stop it. Whatever it is, right? I cannot stop God's will for my life, even if I tried. And trust me, I've tried. And I don't want to try any longer, obviously, because now you just, like, you get to a point in your walk where you understand fully that God's plan is the best thing for your life. That God's plan, there's nothing better. And, like, we humans think that we just, like, know everything and that we can outsmart God or we can outplan God. And I'm so grateful that we cannot outplan God, because it's like, imagine if we could, you'd be like, why would I surrender to this being then if he didn't have his the best for me or loved me this much, you know? So I've 100%, like, especially thought that my daughter threw me off. Like, and I had those similar feelings that Beverly mentioned earlier, where it was like, I didn't want this girl. Like, why are you in here? Like, I didn't want this to happen. And obviously we made choices, so they had to happen. It's a natural thing that happens. So I felt like before she was born, before I was pregnant, like, I was at a point in my life where I felt like for the first time I had everything, honestly. And that is such a scary place to think you are, right? Like, and you don't have everything if you don't have Jesus. And I, as Sharif and I were doing, we were fornicating. How could I think that I have everything when I'm so far from what God wanted for me? Before Galilee was born, your life was derailed, you know? It wasn't like Galilee was the one that did that for you, sis. Look at what you were doing before she was born. Yeah, that wasn't in God's plan, but even so, God has a plan God doesn't just have plan B and C. God has the whole alphabet for you, because God knows that all the mistakes that we'll make, or whatever bad decisions or choices, like, God knows everything, and God is always going to come through for you like a good father does. And that's what he's been doing. Cause like before she was born, I really thought, wow, I have it all. I have a good man. I have money. You know, I'm about to move to California. I was going to move to California. Me and Sheree were going to go to LA because I like to do screenwriting and just writing in general, acting. And I was like, okay, I've had enough of New York. I love my city. I still wish I lived there. Like, I didn't really want to move to California, but I just felt like God is telling me to go to California because there's more opportunity there for writing. And I was like, and I've had dreams. And before I was pregnant, like, I had dreams of, like, physical dreams that God put in my mind while I was asleep, because throughout my life, God has always spoken to me through dreams. And I've had dreams of me, like, living in California in this apartment. I've had dreams of me living and going to school, like, for screenwriting in LA. And I was like, okay, I know what I'm supposed to do. And my family was moving out of New York to Pennsylvania. So I was like, okay, God is telling me to go here. So I'm going. I'm getting ready to go. Trust me, I was literally packing. Like, we had to pack because my parents are moving. And I was like, packing. I was like, okay. And me and Sheree were looking at apartments, everything. And I was like, listen, we're going to move to LA. Like, that's just it. And it's just so funny now, because I'm like, girl, what were you thinking? Like, I really thought that was the best thing for me. Like, I thought that. I didn't think about, oh, you know, you have dreams and all this stuff. But what if those dreams, you've just been thinking about these things for so long that you yourself are just having these dreams? What if these dreams were implanted by God? Did you pray about confirmation for these dreams? Did you seek wise counsel? This was a decision solely based off of what I felt and what I wanted, because I do still to this day, I do want to write. I do want to make movies, but it's not in God's timing right now. And it wasn't in his timing back then for me to pick up and leave and go to LA and like move. Like, I mean, I'm still far from my family because they're all on the East Coast, but like move extra far, you know, like 7 hours on a plane far from my family, 5 to 7 hours. So I really thought that I made the best choice, like, at that time. But now, looking back, it's like, God knew exactly what he was doing when he sent me Galilee. Because if it wasn't for her, I don't know what my life, honestly, I can't even imagine right now what my life would look like. Like, truly, I couldn't even picture it. And if I could picture it, it wouldn't be better than this. And it's like, when I found out I was pregnant, we were still trying to move to California. Like, we were just like, okay, well, you know, we just gotta, you know, pick up and go to California. Cause we were really, I was very, very, very much involved with my church in New York. So I was like, damn, they're gonna find out I'm pregnant, and I'm just gonna feel so much shame because I'm not married. And like, I didn't want this to happen, obviously, but it happened. I'm like, I have to have this baby. Like, with so much fear in my heart, like, of course you went through those thoughts of like, what if I don't have this baby? But like, I knew from the moment I saw that pregnancy test, and I prayed that it wouldn't say pregnant, I knew that I was going to have this baby. Like, there's no way around it. Like, in my heart, I knew, like, I could not do this to myself, because if I had an abortion, I would hate Sheree for the rest of my life and we would never be together. And like, I told Beverly this. Yeah, I told you this. Remember we were talking with B-Kem and Sheree at the restaurant. When I first saw Sheree, the Holy Spirit told me, that is your husband. The Holy Spirit did not communicate that to him. He was bamboozled when I just showed up and he was asking me about my hair or whatever. But he was unaware, but he got with the program shortly after. And then all the girls in my church were asking me, like, hey, sis, how did you do that? And I was just like, I didn't do nothing. It was the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit just told me. I wasn't praying for a husband. I wasn't, you know, like, dating Jesus. I wasn't doing any of that. I was just like, you know, and I was obviously walking with the Lord, but I was like, I'm good. I actually wanted to be by myself. And then I met him And then I was like, oh my God, this is my husband. Like, that's crazy. But like, what if we get together in like 2 years? It doesn't have to be right now. That's what I thought. But like, God's plan prevails no matter what we think, no matter what we want. And like, I just thought when I got pregnant, I was like, oh my God, I felt like in a way I disappointed people at church, even though we're all sinners, no matter what the sin is. And I thought like all the girls in my church were just going to look at me like a hypocrite, or like, oh, is this really your husband? Because why are you having a child out of wedlock? Like, why couldn't you wait? And it's like, I'm sorry, you know, and I wanted to run away from those feelings. So we were like, let's go to California, even after I found out that I was pregnant, and we were pushing for that. And then one day Sharif had a conversation with his friends, our really, really good friends from California, that don't live like in LA. They live more north. And they were like, they were talking to Sharif alone on the phone, and I wasn't there. And they were just like, listen, do whatever you can to not move over here. And then Sharif told me that. And I was like, why would they say that? We had a fight. Like, I fought tooth and nail to not move to Dallas, Texas. I have fought. Like, and even after we moved here, there were many days where I would cry in the shower because I was just so sad to be here. Like, I was like, I'd rather have stayed in New York because my family is there. Like, I have friends there, still have community. My life was in New York. And I really wish that we never moved till this day. I really wish, like, I miss my city. I love where I live, like, my people, everything. But in the grand scheme of things, God's plan comes together. Like, nothing we can do, because now it's like, wow, I know that we were supposed to come here. Like, I know. And I know that Galilee was supposed to be born here. I know that all of the things that happened how they were supposed to. Nothing that I could do in the future is ever going to stop God's plan for my life. So the best thing that we can just do is surrender, because trust me, I could have never imagined a better life for myself right now. I truly couldn't. Like I mentioned, if I think about my life outside of this one that I have now, I don't imagine it being as good as this, you know, as good as like having a solid foundation in Christ, as having a freaking amazing husband that I could never even like think up in my brain to be like this good, and like a good father to our child, and just the stability that we have here and with each other, and now have community and friends, and like friends that have become like family too. It's just like, I could have never made this happen myself, you know? Like, this is what, like, outside of having a baby, I wanted all of this in LA, but I couldn't even imagine it being better than this. Like, I can't. The only thing I could imagine being better is having like a beach nearby, because there are no beaches in Texas, like at least in Dallas. And I'm just like, what the heck is going on? Like, we just gotta have a pool. Like, I actually want seawater. I want salt water for my hair, like, so my hair can look really big and curly. But there are no beaches here. That's the one thing I would change, because California has beaches.
Yeah, but so you would change. I think you got it pretty good. Yeah, this. I travel to a beach, but if it was that, oh, you know, I wish my husband was more loving, that's a bigger problem to fix than the beach.
Yikes.
Yeah, the beach is, there is a beach down over here, but it's not one you would want to go to.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was super powerful. I felt like a verse that came to my head was Romans 8:28, and the question that you stated, like the mistakes that we make, like derailing you. And I feel like there's no amount of mistake that any one of us can make that would keep God from really like covering you and allowing you to still be able to do the things that he called for you to do. Because at the end of the day, our calling and the things that he has us do is not really just about us. Like, there's still an assignment out there. So I had sex last night with someone that wasn't my husband. Okay, God still needs you to do. Repent, of course. God still needs you to, to get done the things that he needs to do in this world. And he wants to use you. And I feel like any mistake you make of course, we have to learn from it. We have to repent. We have to, you know, continue to move forward in the ways that God, you know, sees righteous in the way that we should be living, of course. But we have to remember that everything that the enemy has placed in front of us to harm us, to quote unquote derail us, like, because we are on the same team with God, because we are his child, there's nothing that can happen to us that he will never allow us to move forward from, grow out of. You know what I mean? And so that verse, Romans 8:28, where it says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good. And it's not just in some things. I feel like as Christians, we have to remember that it's in some things, but we feel like it is sometimes. We feel like what we did was so bad, or what happened to us was so bad that we can never be used by God. Mm-hmm. We're not that powerful. We really aren't.
Thank you, Lord,
that we can't just mess up ourselves so bad that we can never be used. Like, how, like, we have to remember, I don't know, I just feel like saying this, but we have to remember what it means when God's what the love that God has for us. Like, it's unconditional. Mm-hmm. It's unconditional love. And like, he wants us so badly to be walking with him that if we make a mistake, he's so willing to bring us back. So I looked at my pregnancy in the beginning as a mistake, but it definitely wasn't a mistake. It wasn't at all. And I feel like after having like the birth experience that I had, which I'm just so thankful, because I know not everybody's experience is, you know, it's usually you hear stories of trauma, and I'm very thankful my story wasn't that way. But I feel like God redeemed everything that I thought was wrong about my life, about being pregnant. I had so many fears about carrying a child. Like, I don't know. It was so weird. I always felt like seeing pregnant women, like their bellies, it just freaked me out. Cause I'm like, how can you breathe? How can you lay down? How can you do this? It's like every little thing, every step of the way, God like literally redeemed every thought that I had that the enemy planted inside of me to make me believe that I wasn't called for this. No.
You preaching.
I'm getting so passionate about this because I feel like we hold ourselves back so much. We hold ourselves back so much from literally walking in alignment with God. Like sometimes, like we would rather, okay, I made a mistake or I did this, let me just fall back. No, we got to keep going. Because there's souls, there are souls out there. There are people out there that we got to bring to God's kingdom, because we just can't be leaving people behind. But I just thought about that verse. I really felt like sharing that God works out the good in every situation, because it's not just pregnancy. It's not just motherhood. It's literally everything that we go through. Like that verse is for everything.
What is so crazy? Yeah. I wrote down the exact same verse as Giselle was speaking. Like, God uses all things together for, like, wow, it's crazy.
Word
is one.
I really think that what you just said, like, both of you combined, is going to free so many people. Because what the devil really wants us to do is to count ourselves out. The minute we discredit ourselves and take ourselves out of the race, because God never takes us out. But if the devil can convince us that we are too broken, too tainted, too dirty, then we'll count ourselves out from being used by God. God will literally be knocking on the door being like, hey, yeah, I know you did that thing. Like, cool, I moved past that. Can we move on? And you're like, no, I'm so dirty. Don't look at me. And he's like, can you get up? Can you fix it?
Get yourself together.
But if the devil can get us down enough, we don't need anyone else to talk down on us. We don't need anyone else to disqualify us, because we've already done it in our hearts and in our minds. So we're pre-disqualifying ourselves. And I just felt that I just saw your story, Giselle, tied together so beautifully, in that God's plan might not have been for you to get pregnant in the way that you did, or at the time that you did. But when you talk about praying for God to heal your childhood wounds, We never get to tell God how he's going to do that.
Exactly.
Best known and leave the rest to him. And he decided that this is how he was going to do it. And I think about you moving to Dallas and how God has, like you said, given you a life that you couldn't even have prayed for. You wouldn't have had the words to pray for it. I think about how he went ahead of you and even allowed Beverly to be in a similar situation to you, in a city to you, like in all things.
And say about that.
God did not stand by and just be like, okay, well, let's see how this unravels. He went ahead of you and he was like, okay, so this has happened. Let's move on. How do we fix this? How do we make sure that she comes back into my plan? Because, and this is what I wanted to say, I think it can often feel like we are living in like a second class version of God's plan for our lives. Like when we use the analogy of, oh yeah, I'm in God's plan B. I'm in God's plan C. Like, I guess I'll never get to experience what God's best for me was. But right. I had to learn, and that's what I used to break my agreement with that thought pattern. Anytime, whenever I surrender and repent to God, he reroutes. And that becomes God's plan A. At every single point, take a detour. He's like, okay, I'm rooting you back to the where we were going originally. You took a little stop, but it's okay. So I think it could also be, it could be so harmful. And it seems, when people say it to us, it seems helpful in the moment to them when they're like, oh no, don't worry. Like, God has another plan for you. Like, this is just his plan B. No, sis, it's plan A. Like, we're just back on track.
It's a plan that he's always had.
Maybe I have another passenger in the car with me. I got a little baby.
A car seat in the back.
Seat in the back, but we still on the road. We still going to the right location.
Yep. So, there we go. That's a good word.
And you know, like, what you were saying, Mara, about how, like, Beverly and I are literally, we were, like, in the same situation. It's so crazy how God just does everything. Like, I don't like to use the word crazy, but I like to use, like, I don't know, it's just miraculous, honestly. It's, like, amazing.
Amazing.
Because when I was pregnant, I mean, when I gave birth, like, maybe when Galilee was, like, 3 weeks old, maybe going on a month, Sharif's family came and visited, and that's when I first saw B-Chem and Beverly for the first time. Like, they came inside, Beverly had to use the bathroom, and like, I saw her belly, but I didn't know if she was pregnant or not. So I was like, oh my gosh, I remember thinking to myself, I was like, oh my God, like, okay, these are Simbi's friends. And then B-Chem was asking about Sharif, and I was like, oh, so they know each other, and she might be pregnant. I don't know. I don't want to say nothing, because you know how that goes, and we, like, offend people if they're not. But I was just like, oh, in my head, I was thinking, oh, I don't know, maybe we could talk sometime, like, whatever. And then they left, and they came back with a little gift for Galilee. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, these people don't even know us. And this is so sweet. Or at least they didn't know me. And I was like, this is so sweet. And then I remember, like, it was very isolating for Sharif and I when Galilee was very, very small, because there was no one else around us that we knew that had a baby, or anyone else who, like that we trusted enough to, like, hang out with them, or, like, trusted them enough with our baby. Like, I didn't really have mom friends until, like, from our church until Galilee was, like, I don't know, maybe in July. So she was probably like 4 months, and I didn't have mom friends for a long time. That's a long time, 4 months and all of pregnancy. Like, I did not have any mom friends. So I was very isolated at that time. And there were a lot of moments of just, like, crying, like, feeling lonely, because, you know, your husband can only understand so much of what you're going through, and you love him to death, but it's like, you're not a woman, and, like, your love is enough for me, but, like, there's things that you can't help me with. Yeah. Just biologically, you're not a woman. You don't think like me. We're different in that way. So I just remember, like, crying to God, like, I want to have a mom friend, you know, like, this is, like, you know, this is kind of lonely out here. I did not imagine this. And I actually prayed this informal prayer in my head when Galilee was weeks old. And then actually when we went to church on Easter, we met this girl who also had a baby. It was like this mom's room, and she had a baby, and her baby's birthday, her first birthday is actually today, but we couldn't make it. And it's actually so crazy because I prayed this informal prayer, and like through her, I met like one other mom. But like, it's also a task to make friends as a mother, because you want to align with your values as a parent, and you want to, you like, in a way, you no, not in a way, 100%, you pick your mom friends more wisely, because you don't want to have mom friends who like just do things so differently from you. And especially like if they're not believers, like I just want to raise my child around people who believe the way we do and like know Jesus and have the same values and all these things. So like they're amazing people, those moms I met, but you know, you didn't find your tribe. You know, when you found your tribe, I was just like, it's so bizarre to me how all these months that I just like talked about, I kept telling Sharif, like, you know, B-Cam, right? His wife is pregnant. Now we know she's pregnant. Like, reach out to them. Like, you know, you, because he would always say, like, I wish I had somebody like that has gone through what we're going through in our corner when you were pregnant. Like, I wanted, like, I want to also be that for someone. And I was like, I kept telling him for months. I was like, Sharif, be this for someone. You are in a position to be that support, be that friend, be that encouragement for someone in your similar situation, young married people having a baby. Like, I kept telling him, come on, reach out to them. Like, I didn't know anything. I barely knew their name, Beverly and Beacom. So I was like, I couldn't do anything. So I just kept telling him, and I pushed him for months until he finally did. And then when we got together, it was like,
it wasn't,
this could have happened a long time ago. And it's crazy that how God just like made all of this like just intertwine so beautifully. And obviously, even though I harassed him for months, like, come on, come on, come on, like, it happened at the perfect time. Yeah. It happened when God wanted it to happen. Yeah. And I was just like, whoa. I like, and now I don't feel fully alone. Like, I don't feel alone at all now, you know? And that's just like the crazy thing, because when we first moved here, I was just like, wow, how am I ever gonna make friends? Like, I don't, my mother ain't here. Like, you know, I don't have anybody here. It's just Sharif and I. And like after a while, like we just talked about, like your husband doesn't, like, he can't fulfill every single thing for you, you know? Like, you need your girlfriends.
Yeah.
Like, you need a really good community of friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was like the same for him too. I imagine he also went through his isolating moments, and I imagine that's why he took so long to reach out to you guys and all this stuff. But it's just like so crazy now that like we didn't have to do this alone.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't, and thank God for that. I could not have imagined this.
I know,
God, like, life better than this one.
God is really good.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But one of the questions was going to be, how has God reassured you that he has been with you every step of this journey? And Giselle, I just hear that, like, from every single thing you've said, I hear and I see God's grace in how, yes, you slipped up. Yes, you did something that was wrong. But as you repented, even probably before you repented, God was like, okay, how can I make this situation work out for her good and for my glory? So he went ahead of you into Texas and put Bev on the same path as you. And last year, I was talking a lot about the theme of Mary and Elizabeth and how God went ahead of Mary and was like, you know, you're not feeling too confident about this. Here's Elizabeth, who is also pregnant supernaturally, so that you don't, you see evidence of my faithfulness and my trustworthiness. And you know that I'm in this with you, because we sometimes don't have enough faith for ourselves. But when we see God working in someone else's life, we're like, oh, okay, this is someone I can rely on. So I just see all over your story the reassurance of his presence with you, and that, and the evidence of his trustworthiness. Because I recently was in a season where my situation wasn't lining up with what I knew to be true about God. Like, you know, when you're there and you're like, but how can you be good and allow this to happen? How can you be for me and still let this? And I really got caught up in this semantics of it all. Like, what does goodness mean? Does goodness not mean giving me everything I want when I want it? So how are you good? A good father wouldn't allow me to go through this. So I had to really dig deep and look back, and the devil was really fighting my memory because I couldn't even draw up one memory of God's goodness. I was like, has God been good to me? And I know without a doubt that the fact that I'm alive today, I've had too many car accidents to not believe that God is good. Like, I should have died a long time ago. The devil has been trying to take me out. But in that moment, I was just like, I was going through a really tough time. I lost a family member. A lot of hard things were happening to me at once that it almost clouded my mind, and my feelings were kind of operating on their own. And I started to believe that my feelings were the ultimate truth. But there is a higher truth. And that's what I see from your life, that there is a higher truth, that God is with you, God is for you, even though I'm sure it didn't always feel like it when you were going through it. When you were pregnant and you were wondering, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me now? Even during your labor, when it was traumatic, you probably weren't feeling like, God is so good right now. Like, he loves me. This is just evidence of his love for me. But in spite of that, he's been good. So, Bev, what about you?
I feel like the biggest thing that I can remember right now is because of what Giselle just shared, and that's about community. Mm. You know, I felt very alone because none of my close friends, the people that I would say are like best friends and like we walk together, none of them were having babies and none of them were even married. So I felt so alone. And I just felt like Beacom didn't really kind of, he got it, but not in the way where I just could express, like, I just feel different. Like, I don't feel like I can relate to, you know, anyone. But I feel like God, he hears and he knows what you're going through, and he knows exactly how to get you to see that everything is going to be okay. And that's when he brought in the community that I needed. And that first person that he brought in was Giselle. And when we first met, it wasn't even like I was thinking me and her were going to be cool. Like, we came.
Bestie.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, Beacom and I came to see Simbi and Alameda Day because they were in town. And he had no idea that Sharif had even moved to Dallas. And so I met, like, I don't know. I didn't know every single one of, like, Beacom's friends or the people he knew down in New Jersey or New York. But I remember him mentioning about Sharif before and saying, like, he does music. And so I was like, oh, okay, maybe that's the same person. And then he said, I just had a baby. I'm like, oh, let's get them something. You know, we got to get them something. I'm a big gifter. But when I walked in, I remember your apartment, I didn't even expect or think that, hey, she's someone that I can be cool with. Like, she's someone that I should probably talk to, because by that time you already had Galilee, and I was, I think, 3 or 4 months pregnant at the time. And so I just felt like she's in another stage. Like, she don't, none of me and her can really relate to, you know. But that we had that lunch was when God was telling me transparency and vulnerability are important, because when you can be vulnerable and transparent, like, you, it unlocks just the community that you can even have. It brings forth the people that God would has even placed in front of you, because I had no idea about her story, that she's the story of her pregnancy that she went through until that day. So I could relate to her. When we sat down and talked, I could relate so much. I was listening to her talk, I'm like, dang, like, we had these same emotions. The stories are different, right? But the emotions are there. And because the emotions are there and we both know what it feels like to carry, like, we can be there for each other. And then it just blossomed. They came over, helped us fix. She helped me fix, like, Jaira's clothes, everything. I was feeling overwhelmed. And she just came in, her and Sharif, they came. We ordered pizza and we just helped set things up in the home. And I'm like, I'm so thankful to God that he sees before we can even see. Like, he just knows what we need, need it. And that's enough for me to trust him. Like, so even now I'm just like, Lord, you took care of it before. I know you're going to take care of it again. Like, you did this for me. I know you can do it again for me. But that's the biggest thing that I can even think about right now, is just the community aspect of God planting people. And now I'm having, like, other, like, mommy friends or other people that are getting married now that I could even, like, lend a hand to and join and be community with. But it's like, God is, he is so forever faithful. Like, he loves us so much that he never wants us to even feel alone, because when we can feel alone, The enemy can really get us in our thoughts. And when he can get us in our thoughts, we're going to believe all sorts of lies. And so he will help you to be with someone who's walked through that journey. So when you can, once again, be transparent and open and ask for help and ask for advice to someone, like, they can immediately call out what's reality and what's false. Mm. And Giselle has been with me. And I'm very thankful, very thankful.
So what I'm hearing is both of you are God's faithfulness to each other. On a closing note, what piece of advice would you give to anyone struggling with the concept of surrender? Whether it's that they are anxious that how do I know that God's ways are truly higher than my ways? How do I know? How can I trust? Maybe it's that they've never had a loving father to even show them the love of a father that, like, wouldn't just give their child stone when they ask for bread. Maybe it's that they just struggle so much with control that they feel like if I'm not involved in every single detail, it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be good. Or whether they're battling with insecurities because I've made choices and decisions that I feel disqualify me from being used by God. What would your advice be to someone who is faced with a surrender journey, motherhood or not, and how? What would you advise them to do or go about it?
Oh man, honestly, I would probably say, like, I'm a combination of everything you just said. Like, I'm a big planner. I think I know best. Like, all these things that, like, God didn't fit into, right? I would say to someone struggling with those things, like, have a good cry, honestly. Like, even through, I never fully, like, had, like, this big emotional life tearing apart cry when I was pregnant. But after, it was like everything came out and just like how many life changes I've went through. So I remember moments, many of them, where I was like so like desperate and just crying out to God, like, there's nothing I can do. Like, of course, I didn't want to have a baby when I did, but I had her and it was the best thing that's ever happened to me. But now I'm just like I was, seasons don't last forever. I would also say that, like, it's like I was like in this season of, Lord, I'm not working, I'm not doing anything with my life, but like, you have me here. Like, and I just had no choice but to just surrender. And in Galilee's room, in her rocking chair, had so many cries, like, not just like crying, but like sobbing cries while I was like holding her, putting her to bed. Like, I was just sobbing, like, Lord, why do you have me here? Like, what is the purpose of this? I'm not happy. And the Lord doesn't call us to be happy, by the way. I know we don't want to talk about that, but that's another podcast. But that's the truth. Like, in every season, God is not calling us to happiness. God is never calling us to happiness. God is calling us to holiness. Mm-hmm. And I just had to surrender to the fact that this moment where I just wasn't working, and when I was pregnant and I wasn't doing anything with my life, like, that's how I felt. Like, that was God's time to prune me, to shape me further with no distractions, no work, no, like, family around. It was just a season of isolation. Like, this is where I want you because this is what I want to do with you. And this is what's going to come from you surrendering to my will right now. And it's not easy, of course. Anybody who has been, you know, in a place where they've had to surrender to God, like, they know this is not easy. This is like the hardest thing ever, to just feel like you're so out of control. You cannot plan even if you tried, because it will all crumble and nothing happens out of God's time. So I would definitely say, like, have a good cry, because I feel like surrender is a scary thing and it brings on so many emotions. So if you have it in you, yeah, have a good cry, because it does hurt. It does hurt when you feel like I don't have any type of control. But with that hurt that you feel also comes some sort of freedom. it's like, wow, I really don't though. But what I do have control over is surrendering to God's will and just knowing and having full 100% faith that His will is the best thing. His plans will prevail. Like it says in Proverbs, like, you can prepare the horse for battle, but the victory is the Lord's. Beverly knows this too. Like, there were times, like, where Sharif and I, we didn't know where we were, how we were going to pay rent. We had no idea. And we were surrendered though. We were like, God, I'm not doing nothing though. Like, I know that closed mouths don't get fed and I'm not doing anything, but I know that you are still my Father. And if this is what you're calling me to do, then I know that you will make a way, period. And every single time He did
come up.
And that's because I was in full surrender to God. And of course, you know, you have moments of anxiousness and feeling like isolated, but if the Lord says He will do something, He will do something. He is not a man that He should lie. So we have no control over what God is going to do and when He's going to do it, but we have control to submit to that. And from experience, I would say, like I said, I couldn't imagine my life being better. And that doesn't mean that my life is perfect, because there's going to be other times too where God is calling me to fully surrender to something else, right? Like surrender to Him something else. And this previous season, it was just my time. Mm. Just my time was surrendered, which is something that, like, I'm a planner too. I'm just like, my time is important. I need to block out this time and do this and do that. And I just couldn't do that. And that was really heart-wrenching. But God's will and God's plan could never be, you could never think up anything better than what God can give you if you truly submit to what He's calling you to do, even if it's heart-wrenching. And, like, trust me, it wasn't a one-time thing where I had to sit in my baby's chair and cry. It was, like, every other night. Like, what am I doing with my life? You know, like we were talking earlier, I never imagined just being a mother. Like, I didn't want that for my life. I felt like, God, like, at a time, I felt like I was being punished, honestly. Like, the enemy found his way in to make me feel like I was being punished for having a baby before I was married, like getting pregnant before I was married. The enemy tried to make me feel like, you see, because you did that, your good Lord is punishing you now. So you don't have work. You don't have friends. You don't have community. You don't have your parents here. You don't have your family, your siblings. You're literally alone with your husband who doesn't fully understand how you feel. Mm. Is that a good Lord to you?
Wow.
And yes, that is still a good Lord to me. But because on the other side of that is glory. Like, God doesn't bring us from glory to worse.
Come on.
God doesn't bring us from worse to worse. It's from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. And it's not for us. It's for Him. So surrendering to God is like the best decision that you can make. And that I don't want people listening to feel like this is said lightly. Like I know. I can remember the feelings. It wasn't that long ago. You know, like, I'm just starting to work. Mm. And have a full structure. My baby is almost a year old. This is almost like 2 years of fully doing nothing, being in a season where God was telling me, do nothing. Mm. Because I'm doing something in you.
Wow.
To bring you, to carry you to this next time in your life.
Wow. I need that on a t-shirt. Do nothing because I'm doing something in you.
That's it. On a t-shirt, the bugs, all of that.
We're going to do the merch. And now we're going to make the merch. Come on. Podcast. Stay tuned for that. That is a bar and a half. Doing something in you. Oof.
Man, I love it. Don't worry about it.
Bev, what is your... What is your advice?
Man, there's three things that I was writing down. I was like, just things were coming to my mind. And one thing I'm gonna be quick with it, but one of them was letting go of entitlement. And yes. And that was a word that the Lord had placed in my heart. I actually made a post about it on my Instagram, which I'm looking at the ending part, because God had told me at that time that I have to let go of being entitled to how my route should look like, because the route doesn't change your destination. It just adds to your perspective. And so that's something that's
Lord.
Let go of the entitlement. And I'll piggyback off of the surrender for a little bit, because I feel like sometimes we think, oh, I'm going to just surrender to the Lord's plan. And we think that it's a kind of an exchange. Yes. But it's like, oh, my plans were so much better. And let me just dumb down what I want to do to surrender to what God wants for me. But when we really think about it, which goes to my second point, is that we need to believe that God writing our story, that we need to believe that because God is writing our story, we're going to accomplish way more than what we could have ever accomplished alone. And that's just a theory, because God, he's the one that gives us the ideas. He's a creative. Oh, yeah. He is all of these things. And so us surrendering to the Lord's plan over our lives, like, it's not an exchange of like, oh, mine was so much better. Okay, let me just do you because that's what I'm called to do. No, we do it because we believe that that's the absolute best thing over our lives. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I would definitely say is to find a Christian counselor that you mm-hmm. can trust, because we can't do it alone. And sometimes we may be too afraid to open up to the people that we're around. And if we don't have healthy communities or people that we can even see like walking in the same way, like we have those resources now where we can find a therapist, find a counselor, someone that you can open up to in a safe space and not have to feel judged. I would say Christian only because the values and morals, obviously they're going to tell you things that are biblical and not, you know, advice that may not sit in alignment with what you want for your life. But mm-hmm. Those are the three things I definitely say to do. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. You came in hot. You didn't even like give us like any notice that just brace yourself. You were just like shots fired at every single person. What you get? Okay. Like, I don't know if you saw the shock on my face, but I was not expecting you to go so hard. Wow. Okay. So I'm going to summarize all the different tips and points that we've spoken about today. This is like the Spark Notes version of this podcast. But the first point would be to trust God's heart when you can't see his hand. And you can't really trust someone that you don't know. I think that's a piece that a lot of people miss out on, because they're like, why don't I, like, I don't know how many people actually sit down and are like, why don't I trust God? They just know that they don't trust God. And in my experience, it's been because either I don't, like, let me speak for myself. It's been because I don't believe that he's for me. Like, if you really did understand what it meant for God to be for us, and not just generally speaking in terms of the Bible says he's for everybody, but personalizing it, like he is for me, then there's no fear. There's no anxiety about his intentions towards us. So even when the situation doesn't look like what we would think in our limited understanding that a good father would act like, we are objectively thinking that he is for me and he is good. So therefore, regardless of what I see, I'm going to hold on to that truth. The second point would be that there are people's lives that are attached to your surrender. There are people who are waiting for you, whose destinies need to be unlocked by your surrender. And the truth is, if you don't do it, God will raise someone else up. So there shouldn't be that pressure of, oh my gosh, like the whole world is like on my shoulders. But it is a privilege to partner with God. I think of both of you as amazing moms and the gifts that you've given your children through your surrender. Like, there are generations attached to your surrender. So the sooner you say yes, the better for everybody. God's plan is always better, and he's working all things out for your good and for his glory. confess that you're scared. Like, God knows. So why not just say it? Like, cry if you need to. Shout at him in the shower if you need to. Whatever the case is, your feelings are much healthier in his hands than in your mind. Because the devil will pray. He'll prey on your emotions. He'll prey on your trauma. He'll prey on the lies that people fed you from your childhood. So the minute you confess them to God, to a friend, to a counselor, those lies lose their power. Lean into the surrender. That's what Giselle said. Lean into it. Like, there's certain things that you can't get around it. You can't go over it. You've just got to go through it. You've done everything else.
Yes.
Lean in, like a skydiving experience. You just jump and trust that he's going to catch you. Read about him. Like, if you don't feel like in your own life you have enough evidence to be like, God is good, he's going to catch me if I jump into this with him, read about him. Like, ask about him. There is evidence in the Bible. There's evidence in testimonies. Get around people who have seen God show up in their own lives, and it will raise your faith and increase your courage to trust, to do that trust fall with God. And then whenever you surrender becomes plan A again. You're not settling for God's second best for you. Wherever you surrender becomes plan A. And the last thing would be that there's always deeper to surrender. There is no arrival point. You surrender one thing and God is like, okay, great. I've seen that you can do this. Let's go deeper. You surrender your time. Now let's talk about surrendering your money. Let's talk about surrendering your body. Let's talk about surrendering your career. So, like, the sooner you get through the first round, the sooner you can get to the rest of it. And you grow. You grow in intimacy with God. You grow in strength. You grow in wisdom. And then you can help other people who are in similar situations to you. Because we are blessed.
Can I add one thing?
We are healed.
Like, I just wanted to say that God never forces you into surrender. He gives you the choice to step into that surrender. Because as you're mentioning all of this, and I'm just thinking of all the things we talked about, like, never once do I remember where God is like, you have no other choices. God is like, you have choices. And then you have consequences to those choices. But it's like, God is so kind that he knows what's best for you, but he's not even going to force you into it. He's going to give you a choice to decide for yourself. So this is like a full on, like, journey for you as an individual in your walk with Christ. Like, there's nothing you can do that is going to force God to make you surrender. Like, God is going to give you so many opportunities to surrender. And then there's consequences to both, obviously. So if you want God on your side, you just surrender to his will.
And that's a good addition, because I was also thinking about the rerouting analogy that I said earlier. There's a consequence to delayed obedience as well. As much as I'm saying whenever you surrender becomes plan A, that is true. But like Google Maps again, if you take a different route, you might still get to the same destination, but you're going to be late. You might get there later. If you surrender to God on the day he asked you to versus 10 years from that, you might still get there, but you've lost 10 years. So there is a sense of urgency. I don't want to just make it seem like, oh, you know, there are no consequences for your decisions. Just come back and God will, you know, restore everything. There are consequences. And God in his mercy, he still enables us to have his best for us, but yeah, you might face a few more difficulties than you were supposed to. And sometimes that's a consequence. Wow. This conversation has been so healing to me, guys. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for you and for this conversation and your transparency and vulnerability. And I can just picture the hundreds of people, thousands of people that will be blessed by your testimony. So thank you so much again. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for giving me your time and your sharing your story with me. I am so grateful.
Thank you so much for
thank you for having us.
It's really good.